Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning. We are going to actually backtrack a little bit. when I was going through my notes, apparently I had our calling out or crying out to the Lord lesson for this week instead of last week. It should have been last week, so if you missed that last week, you didn't really miss anything because I didn't give it last week. Normally I do this on the last Sunday of the month, but I'll do this one on the first Sunday and the last Sunday just to make sure that we backtrack a little bit and get May's crying out to the Lord lesson in. We are going to talk this morning about seeking wisdom, crying out to the Lord by seeking after wisdom. And I will say again, I hope that the live stream is working again this week, and I think I've even got it up on the screen as well on the live stream, so hopefully everybody at home will be able to see all of this as well. Appreciate those who have worked to get all of the new equipment that is needed to get those live streams up, and sorry that I have been fumbling with it for so long, but I think we've got the equipment that we need now. If you were following along in Psalm chapter 1 or the first Psalm, you probably noticed some pieces of wisdom in there. And we're going to go through Psalm chapter 1 today, but I want to ask a question. Who would you consider to be wise? And it's not probably always someone who is well-educated that we might consider wise. And it may depend on, you know, well, what field are we talking about? What do you mean, you know, a person who is wise? Maybe a person who is wise in a certain field may not be wise in another field. But I'm talking about general wisdom. Who would you look at and think might be wise? Well, it's probably not always going to be someone who's well-educated, who, you know, has a lot of schooling or maybe has a lot of degrees. I heard a funny analogy that one preacher gave that said that guy has so many degrees he has a fever, right? Somebody that's well-educated. We might think of that person as wise, but I don't think that's always the case because most of the time, when we see someone who is being educated, that person is probably young, and just them getting their degree or getting their master's degree or their doctorate degree doesn't necessarily make them wise in our eyes. Maybe we would look at someone who has a little whiter hair and consider that person wise. So, well, Tony, you've got a lot of white hair and we don't consider you wise. We might look at someone that has a lot of life experience, we'll say. And say, well, that person probably is wise or probably has a lot of wisdom. Maybe it's the experience that they have combined with the years that they have that we would consider wise. Well, this person has a lot of years to them, but he also has a lot of experience to go along with those years. So we might consider that person wise. Well, no other book in Scripture talks more about wisdom than Proverbs. Our text will, yes, be from the first Psalm, but there's a lot of wisdom that comes from Proverbs as well. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 8, it says, "He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good." And so we're encouraged to have wisdom. But notice the opposite of that in chapter 12 and verse 8, a man will be praised according to his insight, but one of perverse mind will be despised. So the lack of it is dangerous while having it is encouraged. And in Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 5, we read, "Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding." Which tells us that it is going to take a little bit of work, right? You have to acquire it. You have to go get it. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. This is, again, lessons that a father is giving to his sons. Do not forsake her, speaking of wisdom. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. And then in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, we saw in Proverbs chapter 4 that it says, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Well, how do we do that? What is that? We finally get to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so I believe that we can go to God, cry out to the Lord through trying to gain wisdom, trying to gain understanding of His Word. When we think about crying out to the Lord, we typically think, or even crying out to someone, we cry out to anyone, we are asking them for help, right? We're crying out to them, we're calling out to them, and we want them to come and help us. We don't often think of crying out to someone, but yet we have to do something too. But that's exactly what I believe Scripture tells us about wisdom. Yes, we can cry out to the Lord by seeking after wisdom, but it's going to take a good bit of work on our own part. God will answer our cry, and He will answer it through His Word. I want us to begin this morning in understanding that God gave us understanding. He wants us to understand. He's not trying to be cryptic in anything that He says. And sometimes, you know, as people, we do that. You say, well, I don't talk in cryptic talk, or I don't talk so that people can't understand. I want people to understand when I... Do you have kids? If you do, then you've probably done this, right? You spell things if they don't know how to spell yet. And sometimes you spell them forgetting that they know how to spell now, and they can figure those things out, whoops, right? We do that sometimes. Or we'll talk in certain code as husband and wife so that the children don't know what we're talking about. And I will say that it drives at least the older ones crazy. Brayden oftentimes, what are you guys talking about? Why are you talking in secret? Right? We're talking out in the open, but we're trying to keep certain things from them. They're things that we don't want them to know. God is not like that. God is not trying to talk to us cryptically so that we can't understand what it is that He's trying to tell us. Again, backing up in Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 1, we're told, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you might gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. God wants us to understand. Just like a father that is speaking to his son, trying to give him instruction here. He says, listen and understand. We gain wisdom and understanding from the Father's Word. Just like many of the things that I know because my father taught me. And I still go back to him and say, hey, Dad, I'm stuck. How do you do this? And he might not always know the exact term that is used. Well, I don't know what they're called, but you need to get one of these things, whatever he calls it. And that's what I know it by too. You need to get one of these and you need to put it here and that should take care of everything. Right? We look to our fathers. We want to gain instruction from our fathers. How much more the Heavenly Father? If we listen, we can gain wisdom, we can gain understanding. well, what does that mean? What do we get? What is wisdom? What is understanding? And I want you to understand that basically it is to listen, to know how to apply, and then to do. Right? That's wisdom and understanding combined. You listen, you get the information that you need, you know how to apply that information, and then you do what you're being asked to do. It's wisdom and understanding all wrapped up into one nice little ball. Listen to what is being taught, but that's not enough. You're not going to get where you need to be. You're not going to get help from the Lord. You're not going to be able to cry out to the Lord just through knowledge. Right? You have to know how to apply that knowledge. You have to properly know how to apply it. And then you have to do it. Because we can all look at the same information, but apply it in different ways, can't we? Well, how did you think that went, right? Ask two people that were at the same event. Well, how did you think that? Do this for me. Go to a basketball game, a football game, whatever it is you want to go to, where you don't have a dog in the fight. Okay, go to that game and watch the two crowds. By the end of it, if the referees are good, both teams will be mad at those officials. If they're good. You say, ask one player or one, you know, person from this team, say, what did you think about that call? That was awful. It was the worst call. No, that was the right call if we come over here. Right? We see the exact same thing, but we apply it differently based on where we are. We have to know how God would apply it. And then we need to do what He has asked us to do. God intended us to understand so that we could apply it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. We're told, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He tells us to be careful, to walk, as I believe the King James says, walk circumspectly. Right? Basically, that's walk looking around, right? Walk looking around, making sure that you're aware of your surroundings. Don't walk as unwise men, but as wise. And He tells us, I believe, how to walk as wise men. Then don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Why do we need to understand or know what God's will is if we're not going to do it? It doesn't make sense. God wants us to apply that, and He's given us the ability to do so. I want to look at the example in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and sometimes this parable can be confusing if you don't know what Jesus is trying to express here. Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 1. Now He was also saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager. And this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account for your management, for you can no longer be manager. The manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes. He summoned each one of his master's debtors. He began saying to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. He said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said, take your bill and write 80. And he said, and his master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. Now again, we look at that parable and say, well, is Jesus commending this person for doing what he did? Absolutely not. He's not commending him for what he did. He's commending him for the foresight that he had, for the wisdom that he showed in seeing the situation that he was in. I've got a big problem here. Right? I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not going to beg. And so I need to do something quickly. And it seems that this kind manager gave him some time, doesn't it? Maybe gave him a 2-week notice like we get. So you're going to be fired from this position. Get all your things in order. And so he takes that opportunity. He realizes he has a big problem, and he takes opportunity at that moment to say, I need to do something about this right now. Now, what he did was dishonest, and it was wrong. But when he gets back, the manager says, that was something that was wise. Not good, but it was prudent at that moment because you understood you had a big problem and you took care of it right away. I wonder how often we do that. Now, not doing something wrong or illegal, but do we realize if we're living in sin that we've got a big problem? Do we realize if we're not a child of God that we've got a big problem? And what we need to do is take care of it right away. Have we gone to God in prayer about that situation? Have we gone and studied God's Word to try to gain that wisdom, gain that understanding that He has for us? Have we sought out wise counsel from our brothers and sisters in Christ that we may respect and trust? I hope that we have those people. I know I have those people. Now, again, I don't take their word as gospel, but certainly if somebody is a child of God and they're somebody that I know and respect, I will talk to them about those things. Say, what would you do in this situation? Or what recommendations can you give me in this situation? All the while doing prayer and study on my own. But it obviously helps to get some wise counsel from time to time. And I believe that part of Jesus' point is, we see all of these people, like in Luke chapter 16, this manager. We see all of these people of the world acting quickly, acting wisely when something happens. But yet oftentimes we as Christians don't act when we should act. God gave us the ability to understand. Are we taking advantage of that and seeking out His Word? Well, what are the results of wisdom? If we go to God's Word and we gain wisdom, what does that do for us? Well, let's go back to our context in Psalm, the first Psalm, and in verse 1. We'll spend a good portion of the time from this point on in the first Psalm, but he said, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinner, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." He said, how blessed is the man? One of the things that we gain is being blessed. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a blessed person? Well, if you look at both the Old Testament word and the New Testament word, they both convey the same message. And here's the definition given. Happiness, good fortune, or a state of joyful mind. When you have wisdom, you can have all of these things. Happiness, good fortune, a state of a joyful mind. All by seeking wisdom, the wisdom of God. Not just any wisdom, but the wisdom that comes from God. How is it that the world defines happiness? Well, we hear phrases like, look out for number one. If it feels good to you, do it. Right? Those are the phrases that we hear. That's what the world will tell us that happiness is. But that's not what God's Word tells us is happiness. Notice in the first Psalm again in verse 2. But His delight, His joy, His happiness is in the law of the Lord. And in His law He meditates day and night. Now again, this word meditation is interesting because I think when we think of meditating, right, we see somebody maybe sitting in a yoga stance, you know, with the OK symbol upside down, and they're going right. That's what we think of when we're meditating, but that's not what this means. It literally means to mumble. So in His law, doth He mumble day and night. So the words of God's law are coming off of your lips night and day. You ever hear someone mumbling something? Maybe your parents, if they get upset, right? You hear them mumbling those things. Something maybe that they don't want to say out loud, but those words are on their lips. You know, I used to work for a man who laid block and brick, and he did this all day. All day. He would sing songs so out of tune that you wouldn't even, I would stop him and say, "Carl, you're singing the tune to this song with the words of this one." He didn't care. He was meditating on those words. It didn't matter what arrangement it came out in. He was meditating on God's word while he was working. And you know what? The other people that were working with him typically didn't know that it was the wrong tune, only me. All they heard was God's words coming off of his lips. He was and he wasn't doing it for them to hear. He was doing it for himself. But they were coming off of his lips all day. Made a big impact on me. Do we meditate on God's word? Does his word come out day and night? Well, what does verse 1 tell us to stay away from? So here's the second part of this. Right? One part of it is we need to delight in God's word. We need to meditate on it day and night. But we also need, it says, how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, does not stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is the man, happy the man is going to be when he doesn't put himself in the way of people who are evil, people who are wicked, people who are going to try to get him to skew off of track on meditating on God's word day and night. Don't even stand in their way, right? Don't walk in their counsel. Don't ask them for their advice. They'll give it to you. He says, don't ask for their advice. Don't walk in a way where you're going to get their advice. Don't stand where sinners are going to be passing by. And don't sit in seats where scoffing is going to take place. He says, you'll be much happier if you stay away from those type of feet. So he's telling you to get off of Facebook, basically, right? We're in the way of that all the time, aren't we? We need to be careful about it. I'm not telling you to get off Facebook. But we need to be careful about what we're seeing, right? What we're hearing, what we're doing. He said, happy is the man who kind of steps out of the way of it and just lets it go on. Right? Get out of its way. You'll be much happier if you stay out of the way of those types of people. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 30. Very simple. You know, we think about Proverbs as some of the greatest wisdom that we can have, right? Look at how simple it is. And wisdom is often that way. He who walks with wise men will be wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Did you catch that? He who walks with wise men will be wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. You know, it's interesting that as I look back even over my own life, I know who those people are. I know that I became wiser when I was around certain people, and I became dumber when I was around other certain people. I know who those people are. Are we wise enough to say, you know what? I'm a better person when I'm over here with these people than I am when I'm over here with these people. We need to walk with those who are wise. It will cause us happiness. Again, look at the results in verse 3 of the first Psalm. It says, if you do this, right? If you stay out of the way of the wicked, if you meditate on God's word day and night, get rid of the things you need to get rid of, do the things that you need to do, here's the result. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. You see that? Do you see what the result is if we stay away from the things that we're supposed to stay away from? We do the things that we're supposed to do. Do you see the result in verse? That's not me. That's God saying this. You'll be like a tree. They won't be able to move you from your faith. You'll be like a tree that is firmly planted by water. Always has a continuous stream of food, of life. It will yield fruit. You will yield fruit when the time comes. Your leaf will not wither away. And whatever you do, you will prosper if you do these things that are above. Very simple. But that's the result of wisdom. Now, let's conclude this morning with verse 4. There's a change that happens here. He says, but the wicked are not so. Or the ungodly are not so. It doesn't seem that way to us sometimes, does it? Right? We sometimes will look at worldly folks and see them cheating and lying and stealing. And we say, well, they're climbing the ladder and look at me. I'm way down here. God didn't necessarily say you were going to get rich or you were going to get that promotion. He says you'll be happy. You'll be able to lay your head down at night and sleep. Where, and while this guy may be getting riches or glory or honor or whatever it is, we look at that from the outside and say, this guy has it all. But I will tell you from experience, a lot of times those people are dying inside. They don't have a shred of happiness in them. It doesn't matter how much money they gain. They don't have a shred of happiness in them. It's ruined them. It's not always the case. But a lot of times we look at it in such a way that we think, well, look how well they're doing and look how poorly I'm doing. You're looking at it the wrong way. Are you happy? Do you have a good family? Can you lay your head down at night? If you're doing Psalm 1 and verse 1 and 2, you're going to get verse 3. But he says, the wicked are not so. It doesn't happen. But they are like chaff which the wind drives away. One of my all-time favorite song, Kansas, Dust in the Wind. Right? I'll refrain from singing it to you. That's one of my all-time favorite. I love that song. Love the melody, the guitar. I just love it. Love that song. And that's the concept, right? Dust in the wind. All we are is dust. We're being blown back and forth. And if we are not grounded, if we are not firmly planted, then that's what we are. Chaff in the wind or dust in the wind that's being blown from place to place, wherever the world is going to take us. That's what happens to those people who we look at and say, well, look at how rich they are. Well, their life is determined. It's around those riches, right? If those riches are gone, the wind's going to take them somewhere else. Or if the money dries up here, they're going to have to follow it over here, right? They're blown from place to place. And the idea is that they are not in control at all of their own life. But the child of God who is firmly planted, when the wind blows, doesn't move. That's what we are to be like. I want you to notice what can happen. In Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 6, and starting in verse 15, and Jeremiah is warning the children of Israel of their eventual doom. They're doing all of these things. They're going to be going away into captivity. And look what is said in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Were they ashamed because of the abominations they have done? Okay, they were doing all these terrible things, right? All these things against God. They were abominations to God. He says, were they ashamed because of the abominations they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They didn't even know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall at a time that I punish them. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. I hope that we are not in a point in our own lives where we don't know how to blush, where we don't know how to be embarrassed for the sins that we've committed in our lives. I can't imagine being at that place where we can be so hardened against God, and that's what it is, so hardened against God that we can't even blush for the sins that we've committed. That's where the children of Israel are. And if we're not careful, if we're not planted, if we're not grounded, that's where we'll find ourselves. Can't even be ashamed of what we've done anymore. It almost becomes like to us it's not even wrong anymore because it's such a natural part of our lives. Let's finish the verses in Psalm 1, verses 4 through 6. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Where does our wisdom come from? Are we gaining earthly wisdom or are we gaining heavenly wisdom? Because one will lead to eternal life and the other will perish. Where does your guidance come from? Where do you look for advice? Especially when we're talking about spiritual advice. Where does it come from? Those who are godly or those who are ungodly. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Again, simple, but it tells us, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. It's the law of the harvest. It's the law that God put in place. I say this all the time, but I shudder when people say, you know, oh, they're just planting their wild oats, right? They're sowing their wild oats. They're a child, they're a kid, they're going to sow their wild oats and then they'll turn around and come back. My question is, what do you get when you plant wild oats? And the answer is obvious. It's wild oats. It's the law of the harvest. God is not mocked. Whatever you plant, you will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. If you're planting physical things in this life, you're going to get physical things, and guess what? Those things will perish eventually. They will see corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's what we need to be planting. That's where our guidance needs to come from. I asked the question this morning, are you crying out to the Lord? Did you know that we can do that through His Word? Yes, it might take some effort on our part, but we can cry out to God through His Word. And it's not just about, you know, gaining a little bit of knowledge or a little bit of understanding about what it is, but having the wisdom and the strength to apply what He's given us. He tells us over and over not to walk in the way of the ungodly. Are we doing that? Are we spending all of our time or too much of our time with those in the world versus our brothers and sisters in Christ? Or are we spending most of our time with our brothers and sisters in Christ and going out and trying to help the world? To be good citizens of this world, though for a short period of time, as we'll talk a little bit about tonight. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so that's where our strength, that's where our loyalty needs to lie. And though it may be difficult while we're on earth, because there's a lot of physical things around us, our loyalties need to lie with Him. Our strength needs to lie with Him. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, There's time and opportunity to become one. All things are ready. All things are prepared. We can baptize you this very morning in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're here and you've already done that, but yet have fallen back into the world, who maybe have been grounded or planted in things that are ungodly, we have time and opportunity to try to replant ourselves with God and His wisdom today. If you're here and need the prayers of the saints, that's what we're here for. If you're subject to God's call in any way, won't you please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.